Welcome to the Almost 30 podcast. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Krista, and we're your hosts, guides, and friends on this path. Almost 30 is not about your age. It's about the feeling. All of us are almost something, seeking community and resources to support the rumblings of transformation within us.
Our conversations are deep dives, shepherded by our insatiable curiosity and desire for connection, enduring inspiration, and a sense of levity that we can all benefit from.
We're looking to find the magic in the human experience.
Buckle up, baby. Your evolution is waiting.
Hello there, and welcome back to Almost 30 Podcast.
We're happy you're here, excited you're here. I'm Lindsay. This is Krista, my best friend. And we started this show 7 years ago. We've just been rocking ever since, supporting you all as you change and grow and go through different transitions. We've gone through a lot of our own. So thanks for being here and supporting us.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey. 7 years is a whole ass cycle. Your cells completely change in 7 years. That's why they say a lot of times relationships have 7 year itches.
Because
it's like you're completely new cellular being.
Totally.
And so you get that 7 year itch. Today on the podcast, we have one of my dear friends, Jessie, the glucose goddess. She is my friend and homie. I love her so much. We talk all the time, and she's just someone that I'm so inspired by. The evolution of her brand, like how she shares science, how she's just so herself. She is like truly an alien of aliens. It's just so much fun to sit down with her anytime we get to.
I love how her personality comes through her brand.
Dude, I know.
In every way. And I love, I just love when her inner weirdo is like,
dude,
kind of running the show. It makes me so happy. And I think that's why she's super magnetic. That's why, like, I think that's a part of why she has so many fans and followers. But also her content is just, it is life-changing. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are kind of like living their nutritional life without this awareness of their glucose levels and how it's affecting their mood, their skin, their sleep, their energy, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I know it's changed, you know, the game for me when I learned just these very simple hacks to implement during the day that she's offered. And I just love her. I think she's doing the Lord's work.
I know. I say I'm her manager.
Love it.
I'm your manager. I think two things that I've done recently, even on this trip yesterday, as it relates to glucose and supporting my healthy glucose levels. Last night at dinner, I ordered pickled vegetables. Mm-hmm. And I had pickled vegetables first. So it was like having that like vinegar, having that like vegetable as my starter, and then having my pita and hummus after.
Yep.
So basically she says to have veggies first and then later you can have the carbs because it supports a lower blood glucose level response. So being able to eat the carbs, being able to eat the bread, dressing them up, not having them just be carbs, having them with a protein or fat is also really helpful. But having the pickled veggies first was really nice for my digestion and then also for my blood glucose.
Yeah, because if you think about it, most of the time when we go out to dinner, there's bread on the table. So we're usually grabbing the bread and then either we feel full or obviously there's a glucose spike happening. It just kind of sets us up for failure, I think, for the rest of the meal. So yeah, that's such a good one to have like a veggie starter first. I've also been doing either apple cider vinegar, or there's a bunch of brands now that like create drinkable vinegars that are like really yummy and interesting. So I'll have that just before every meal. And I got like a little shot glass to like designate for that. So it's easy to just put in the shot glass, take it before a meal. And that's really helped. And we've been keeping track of our glucose levels with levels, which has been super, super helpful. Actually, when I went into labor, I still had my levels monitor on. And because I was like tracking all that week. And I had like just put it on maybe like 2 weeks before or something. And I remember being in labor and in my closet and like trying to change. I don't even know what was happening. And I like looked at my arm. I was like, fuck, I still have my level. And I literally ripped it off. Because I just didn't want to have the conversation with like doctors and nurses, like about what this is on my arm.
I mean, they're a doctor, you know.
But I'm like, I don't even know. So I like,
yeah, it makes
it
sense to me though. If you're like, I'm giving birth, I just kind of want to be free.
Yeah, I want to be free of everything.
It'd be like, you don't want to risk it or something. I don't even know.
I don't even know what I was thinking.
I was so blown away. Side note on levels, how painless it was to put in.
Oh yeah. I didn't feel a thing. But I was such a baby.
Same. I didn't feel a thing. It is so easy to use.
Yeah.
It is so incredible. It is so helpful. And also watching the blood, your glucose levels, your blood sugar levels based on your stress, mm-hmm. your sleep. Mm-hmm. My like sleep has been off. It's affected me. Like your meditation impacts it. Your workouts impact
yes.
it. Like it is like a holistic thing. So levels.link/almost30, you can get 2 free months, but the continuous glucose monitor is really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I did last night, I ordered Levain's mm-hmm. bakery. Mm-hmm. So bomb. Best cookies in the whole world.
It's your favorite.
Every time I'm in New York, I Postmates Levain's.
I like the cookies. I'm not like the biggest fan. It's weird. I know. I'm like a weird cookie snob. Yeah. I think Levain is snobby and amazing, but like it's
what
not
do you
my
like
favorite.
Chewy?
I like Apartment 4F in Brooklyn Heights has like a chewy,
I like a chewy,
buttery, okay. thin but chewy.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can get down with that.
Yeah.
But I just had to get some down with Levain's. And I had my girl Olivia's from Organic Olivia, her Gluco Bitters.
Uh-huh.
So I just like bring my Gluco Bitters in my backpack and
good
I just
one.
Put some in water, helps with digestion, helps with your blood glucose levels. And then I could just get down on my cookies and call it a freaking day.
Totally. It cancels it out.
It cancels it out.
From what I heard.
It actually made me lose weight. They said more cookies makes you lose weight. I said, perfect.
We love you, Jessie. You can follow her on Instagram at Glucose Goddess. Her book, their latest book, The Glucose Goddess Method, is out now. And I just love this conversation because it's like, I think people really love when you have a conversation with like your friends. So it's less just, here are the facts. It's like, let's go a little deeper.
Let's just cruise. We also have 2 other episodes with Jessie you can find. So you can search Jessie or you can search Glucose Goddess Almost 30. And those are really, really, really powerful ones. Some of her best. She has books out as well. The Glucose Goddess Method is her most recent book that I highly suggest you get into. GlucoseGoddess.com for more information. Thank you, Jessie. You are the homie. We will see you on the next one. Thank you for being part of our lives and community. Almost 30 podcast.
We'll see you on the other side. Bye.
Bye.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple, I think. That's why for the last, oh man, I think it's been 4 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just, so good. It's one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. And it makes me feel so good, so focused, nourished. I just feel ready to take on the day. And that's one of the best feelings ever. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It is a powerful, healthy habit that also is powerfully simple. I have trusted AG1 for 4 years now because I know that they are creating a high quality product. There's a lot of products out there. I know you know this, but like not all of them are high quality. Not everyone is going to the extent that AG1 is. They go through rigorous testing processes, so they are sure that it is safe. Their ingredients are sourced for absorption, potency, and nutrient density. So as I said, I take this every single morning. I have it. I have like the canister on my countertop. I just scoop a little AG1 into a glass of water, mix it up, take it down, and I'm on my way. I also bring the travel packs with me everywhere I go just in case. So if you want to try AG1, now's the time. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I've partnered with them for so long. Krista and I are obsessed. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2. Ooh, my favorite, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/almost30. That's drinkag1.com/almost30. That's drinkag1.com/almost30. Check it out. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Okay, so what's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? For me, I would curl up on my roof with the sun out, nice day, and read a book. A lot of us, I know, spend our lives wishing that we had more time, but we're not really sure what we would use that time for. And it's important that at this point in my life, I am making time for things that are a priority. And therapy, honestly, has helped me so much figure out what matters to me. I would say even 5 years ago, definitely 10 years ago, my priorities were so different. What I cared about, what I was stressed about was so different than today. And I figured that out through therapy. I've been going to therapy for, I think it's going on 6 years now. Yeah, I think it's 6 years now, and it has been the best investment I've ever made and will continue to make because I'm keeping it going. If you're thinking of starting therapy, oh my gosh, please give yourself this gift and give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's so easy, so convenient. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I've heard from some people where it's like, oh, what if I don't like the first therapist they match me with? All good. They make it so easy to switch. And that is totally fine. No stress at all. I've had so many friends try BetterHelp and absolutely love it. And I'm just so proud of them because I know what it takes to start therapy. And man, oh man, it is worth it. So celebrate the progress you've already made. Go to betterhelp.com/almost30 today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/almost30 to get 10% off your first month.
I love when people describe stuff right. Hmm. What did you describe the other day? I was like, that was, with the pictures. You're like a photographer.
Some photographers just take a photo of reality and some photographers create a new reality.
I love that.
Another one I love is that some foods have just too much information in them. Think about like a process, like think about a Pop-Tart. Think about the amount of sugar and different molecules and colorings and flavors and just like, that's too much information for your body. Compare it to, you know, an avocado. Simpler information. This is not like a scientific thing, the amount of information in a food, but to me it sort of makes sense.
Yes.
You don't want to give your body a food that has too much information in it because you can't process it properly.
Yes.
It's like, it needs to be like, this is a healthy fat, not this is a list of 25 different ingredients and colorings and preservatives and 30 grams of sugar and stuff your body has never seen before.
I know.
This is like too much.
Yes. So something that's amazing about what I do, but also hard is when I'm friends with people going from like, we're chatting about deet, 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 and then we're like, hello, talking about work life, but it's the best part about what I do. Because I'm actually really excited. We're going to talk a little bit about business. We're going to talk about the brand. We're going to talk about building Glucose Goddess because I feel like people don't know as much about that. And I know behind the scenes about how incredible of a businesswoman you are and how incredible of a visionary you are and thinker. But I do want to start with some like updates around glucose because you've been on 3 times. We've kind of gone through the gamut of everything. All my girls are doing the Glucose Goddess method. Even the girls I coach have the books in the background.
Yay.
It's actually crazy. But what are some myths that are sort of happening in the space right now that you're seeing that feel like you're like, okay, guys, we need to be clear about this.
Okay, 2 things come to mind. I would say the hottest one right now that I get a lot of shit for, but I think we need to keep talking about it, is the fact that I would rather drink a Diet Coke than an orange juice. I know. And so people believe, and this is, you know, reinforced by marketing, huge amounts of money goes into these marketing campaigns. People believe that if sugar comes from a fruit, then it's good sugar. But if sugar comes from a Coca-Cola, then it's bad sugar. Actually, what people don't realize is that all the sugar you find today, whether it's in an orange juice or a can of Coke, it all comes from a plant. So in the orange juice, it comes from an orange. In the Coca-Cola, it comes from a cane or beetroot. It's also plants. But yet somehow we believe that if it's orange and it's fresh squeezed, then it's good for you. But if it's in a can of soda, then it's bad for you. The truth is your body doesn't care where the molecules come from. Your body just processes sugar, whatever its source, the same way. And so that's why to me, an orange juice is just as bad for you as a can of Coke because they both contain 25 grams of sugar, which is going to impact your brain, your hormones, your gut, your cravings, your energy, etc. Now, yes, in the orange juice, there are some vitamins, but if I were to put vitamins into a can of Coke, it wouldn't make it healthy, right? So there's a cognitive dissonance happening. And this is exploited by food companies who will say stuff on package like 100% natural or, you know, sugar for, or based on fruit, 100% from fruit. And it's just exploiting this slight problem in our understanding of food. So that's one big one. And the reason I say I'd rather drink a Diet Coke than a can of orange juice is than a freshly squeezed orange mm-hmm. juice even, is because the Diet Coke doesn't contain those 25 grams of sugar. But it does contain sweeteners. Mm-hmm. And this takes me to my second myth that I think we need to address, which is that people believe that artificial sweeteners are really, really, really bad for you and are worse for you than real sugar.
Yeah.
Natural sugar. Yeah. And so recently we've seen a lot of articles talking about aspartame and how aspartame may cause cancer, et cetera. And what I'm seeing that's I'm finding really concerning is that people would now rather drink a regular Coke versus a Diet Coke.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
And that is just not good because yes, sweeteners are not good for you. Okay, they're not a health food. They have impacts on your brain, on your microbiome, some impact your glucose and insulin levels. Like they're not good. It's better to not have them. But their impact on your health is so much less than the impact on your health of 25 grams of real sugar. Because 25 grams of real sugar also impacts your brain, your microbiome, your cravings, your energy, your glucose, your insulin, etc. So we need to make sure that we understand the context. It's all relative. If you say sweeteners are the devil, then a lot of people are going to switch to something even worse.
Yeah. It seems like people assume that because it's, I guess it's processed more if it's like Coca-Cola than orange juice, that they're kind of looking at it from that lens.
Yeah, like it's made in a factory instead of being made at home.
Yes.
Yeah, I get that. I can understand that, but it's just not, it doesn't make sense on a physiological level.
Yeah.
They're both processed fruits.
Yeah.
And you know the fruit that we eat today, the orange that you make your orange juice from, it's not even a natural plant. Oranges were invented by humans a couple thousands of years ago by breeding different species of plants. All the fruit we eat today is not natural. It's been the consequence of thousands of years of selective breeding. Mm-hmm. So we just have some backing up to do and some understanding to do. And we need to open the lens a little bit.
Yeah.
Because often there'll be one new terrible thing for your health.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's protein, sometimes it's sugar, sometimes it's sweetener, sometimes it's fat.
Yes.
And people forget everything else.
Yes.
But we kind of have to sort of rank the evils. It's like, yes, sweeteners are not good for you. But you know what's worse for you? Real sugar.
Yes.
Keep the perspective, keep the relativity going.
Yes. I think people right now are obsessed with like seed oils and stuff.
Yeah, seed oils are really bad for you, for sure.
Yeah. That's like kind of the new focus. So it was like, when I grew up, it was carbs were bad.
Fat
was bad. And then carbs were bad. And then
Seed oils are bad.
And then sugar was bad.
Mm.
So what is your thought about that journey and trajectory of like us sort of demonizing one thing at a time? And how do you not play a role in it, but you don't want to be someone that's demonizing things. Yeah. You want to be someone that's like empowering them.
Well, if you ask, so there's so many different camps in the nutrition world.
Yeah.
Some people are pro-vegan. Some people are pro-keto, so whatever. Gluten-free, paleo, anti-fat, anti-carbs, anti-protein. You know what happens? You know what is actually, what all these people actually have in common? Mm. They are all anti-processed foods. Mm. Okay, so let's zoom out for a second and be like, actually, when you adopt any of these diets, what's really happening? You're cutting out processed stuff and you're cooking more. And you're eating whole foods. So of course you're going to feel better. Okay? And that is the thread that we have to hang on to. But by creating these camps, we are actually feeding the food industry with these very easy marketing avenues that are going to be making them billions and billions of dollars. So let's just, you know, go back to physiology, go back to just the basics of how your body works. Your body needs protein. It needs healthy fat. It needs fiber. You can eat carbs. Mm-hmm. Carbs are not necessary for life. We've known this since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. They're there for pleasure. Cut down the processed foods or have them, you know, after a meal instead of on an empty stomach. And cook. Mm-hmm. And that's the core of it all. So many soapboxes, you know.
Yeah, that's so interesting how, you know, we could think about it as a trend from consumer up, but it's really corporation down.
Oh, yeah.
We're being fed
all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just marketing.
Yeah.
And whatever you see on the latest packages of food, whether it says, in the 90s, it was low fat.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, 0 grams of fat.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, that must be good. And now it says, you know, 0 grams of added sugar. You're like, oh, zero seed oil. Oh, it's all a marketing strategy.
Yeah.
The food industry is a big money-making machine.
Yeah.
And they're going to jump on whatever, gluten-free, Yeah. Vegan, keto. I mean, mm-hmm. come on.
Yeah.
It's not because a product has any of these labels on it that it is good for you. In fact, if it says any of those things, it's kind of trying to prove its innocence. Yes. And it's hiding something. So it's better to buy foods that don't have any of these health claims on them because they're probably going to be better for you.
Wow. Say more. Like, give examples of that. That's really powerful.
Okay. So think about a box of cereal that might say high in fiber. You're like, oh, look at these. You know, they're cornflakes, but this is a high in fiber cornflake. What you don't know is you don't have the context that actually, if you want fiber, you know what's a better place to find fiber? Fucking broccoli.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude.
So context, zoom out.
Yes.
You know, or if a cereal bar or, you know, a little snack bar says no added sugars, you might think, oh, that means there's no sugars in there. It's not the case at all. It just means that during the process of creating the product, there was no literal table sugar added to the food.
Wow.
But it can still contain dozens and dozens of grams of sugar from natural sources like dried fruits, fruit juices, fruit puree, you know, things like that.
Yeah, right.
That don't count as added sugars, but are actually just sugar molecules all the same.
Wow. So the added sugars, I've known that it doesn't mean it has no sugar. But,
which is crazy.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
It's crazy.
To think about.
Because when That's you see no added sugars, completely. For example, you will see a bottle of orange juice and it says no added sugars. But this is literally sugar water.
Yeah, it
is. How is that a thing?
Wow.
We need so much more regulation. And the consumer is being fooled. Because we all want to feel better. So we all think that, oh, maybe if it says vegan or gluten-free or keto, no added sugar, it's going to be better for me.
Yeah.
But it's just not.
Is there like corporations of like a vegan labeling corporation?
Oh, yeah.
So then do food industries pay to have that labeling?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
What's that?
Big businesses.
Wow.
Well, they're organizations. So vegan is a very good example. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to be labeled as vegan. You know, back in the day when organic started?
Yes.
Same, it was very difficult to get the organic label. But there are tricks that people use. And it's not because you're organic that the product is good for you. You know, I mean, cane sugar is vegan. You know, cigarettes are vegan. I mean, it's not because any of these things have one of these health claims or health certifications. They're actually good for you. But it's just genius marketing after genius marketing.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. It's just, yeah, it's, I don't know if they're keeping ahead of us or they're keeping on trend with us. But I also think that when I say they, it's like, who am I talking about? Like the big business in food. I do think a lot of what they do is keep us confused. And I do feel like social media adds to that a lot, where there's a lot of people that are sharing a lot of different opinions and perspectives and cherry-picking research and cherry-picking certain
things.
And
some people are getting paid by the food industry. There's a whole thing that came out that some dietitians were taking money from the food industry to post stuff. Yeah, it is the Wild West. And today, 70% of all the food consumed by Americans is ultra-processed food. That's the problem. It's not the gluten or the fats or the carbs. It's the ultra-processed foods. It's you don't even realize how big of a business this is. It is making billions and billions and trillions of dollars. It's wild.
What counts as an ultra-processed food? Like, when do we hit the tipping point of being processed versus ultra-processed?
Oh, that's a good question. I think ultra-processed is when it has like three different steps.
Okay.
Of processing, of change. So even orange juice is a processed food.
Yeah.
But I believe that ultra-processed, and I think it's a spectrum, means it's lots of food bits put together into something that is no longer recognizable as a food. So think Pop-Tarts. There's nothing about it that can be recognized as a piece of whole food.
Yeah.
And these ultra-processed foods are created to be very easy to chew, highly palatable. They'll have panels and test different foods on people. And whichever version of those chips or crisps makes the user panel eat more is going to be the one they put in the store. Because they're just trying to make money.
Yeah.
Right? But what's interesting is that these big corporations, it's quite important that they do make money because we actually have a lot of our pension money, for example, in these corporations. So it's just a big system that is confusing and complicated. And it's not as easy as saying, oh, just tax ultra-processed food. We need to work with these big food companies that are profit-driven to make better products for the public.
Say more about the pension thing. I actually didn't know that.
So I recently met this guy called Chris Van Tulliken. Okay. He's an amazing researcher in the UK. And he has a book called Ultra Processed People, where he talks about the the success of these companies is important for the success of the country, for the success of the money that we invest into funds, into pensions. Right. You should have him on. I'm going to butcher this. Wow. But it's not as simple as saying, oh, we should kill these big food companies.
Right.
Because they're actually
part of a system.
Part of a system mm-hmm. that we also benefit mm-hmm. from.
Mm. I wonder if it's because in the United States, the government subsidizes the corn and wheat industry, the soy industry.
Mm.
So the government is a lot in part responsible for managing the price of a lot of our crops. They pay our farmers. So if they're responsible for that, and then also we have like our teachers and certain like government workers that have pension funds, and maybe they do some relationship where it's all a part of it. Like, you know, all of these big systems are all working together in some weird way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would make sense that they would be interwoven in a way that would eventually be detrimental to us, or I don't even really know.
I think the bottom line here is that it's complicated.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as saying just, you know, tax Coca-Cola. It's not that simple. We're part of a big system that's making a lot of money to a lot of people, even to us, but that's hurting our health at the same time. So the solution is multifaceted. And for the past 5 years, I've been working on educating individuals so that they can make better choices when it comes to their processed foods. For example, if you're going to eat a Pop-Tart, have it as dessert.
Yeah.
Not as breakfast, so that you don't create a craving cycle. But what I'm learning also is that individual responsibility, while it's so important, is actually not enough. We also need to push the industry forward and say, we cannot be making these foods that are killing people. We need to do better. So now I'm really, and this is a very new chapter for me, but I'm learning a lot about this world. And I think it's amazing. There's so many organizations doing incredible work that I want to support and I want to help as much as I can. But I think that's the next frontier.
Yeah.
You know, how can I now use my audience and the stuff I built to really push policy change?
Yeah.
For example, you should not be allowed to advertise ultra-processed foods to kids on TV. You know, you should not be able to put the really pretty tiger on the Frosted Flakes box. You should not be able to say no added sugar on a product that has 70 grams of sugar per serving. I mean, you know, these things I'm very passionate about.
Yeah, 100%. Sometimes for me, it feels like, and I don't know what this is about me, it's like an authority thing, but I feel like if you get to the level of like, okay, now I'm going to enact change in the government, I'm always like, good luck. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's like mobsters.
Mm.
Like the people, at least in the West, like our government is
Yeah, but they're still
dark.
Humans, you know?
Yeah.
And they're incentivized. And listen, when you're at the head of a big company that's making a lot of these foods, you have a duty to your shareholders to make money.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And that's the thing.
Yeah.
So how do you help them still make money and make better products? And I think there's a way. I'm an eternal optimist when it comes to this, because otherwise you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's going to take years to make small, tiny changes, but we have to push things forward.
Yeah.
You know, women were not able to have their own bank account. Hey, heck, we've come a long way. The change is possible in all areas, and we have to keep pushing, because otherwise we just become cynical. But I get it. And I'm not doing this alone. You know, I'm just learning from the best in the game and asking how I can support.
Yep.
I'm not going to go, you know, knock on the prime minister's door and be like, hey, we got to change things.
Yeah, you're like, I'd be terrified.
Yeah. And I'd be terrified to do that because I don't know enough about politics space
but
at all.
You're an amazing question asker and you're super clear and just like the way you move is really nice. But this is actually the best story ever and the perfect segue. So someone, one of my guys in New York, he works in finance and—
One of your guys?
Uh-huh. One of my guys in New York.
What does that mean?
One of my men.
Okay.
He works in finance and he does a lot of research for investors. And some of the research he has to do is on like semaglutide, like, you know, GLP-1
Ozempic,
inhibitors.
Yeah.
Ozempic or Wegovy. And what's happening that's very interesting is that there's so many people that are getting prescribed to this and it's only increasing that it's actually impacting the shareholder price and the amount that people are consuming Coca-Cola, the amount that people are consuming sugar and candy over time because it hits on the same receptor, even gambling. So that part of our brain is like the
dopamine
center responsible for addiction and dopamine. So they're seeing impacts across the board in like some of the biggest businesses in the world. And it's also because he said that it hits the power users. So the power users of are usually the people that consume the most. So most of the people that drink Coca-Cola drink like 20 a day.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, so if they're now taking Ozempic or Wegovy or whatever it is, and they are no longer addicted to it, it's actually going to decrease so much of the people that actually purchase it. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. But then, you know, the pharma industry is going to make a lot of money
off
those
drugs.
So it's just, it's moving the capital maybe, you know?
That's what, but I think I completely agree. But I think it's so interesting because those are how are those two, it's like two giants that have such impact, pharmaceuticals and then this one. And it's like now one of them is losing and one of them is winning. And it's the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, I don't know the numbers. It'd be interesting to see how much of an impact this is actually having. I've always felt like big food and big pharma are really good at being mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
So for example, when you have type 2 diabetes, you know, one of the drugs they give you, if it's advanced, is insulin so that you can essentially keep eating the carbs that are making you sick. But with this medication, you can sort of manage the diabetes. And so it's sort of a perfect marriage in the sense that you can keep eating all the food that's making you sick and take this pill to suppress the symptoms a little bit. Yeah. But with Ozempic and the GLP-1 agonist, I guess that's not really the same case. Because you're saying that people are eating fewer processed foods. Scott Galloway, he also posted this study that showed that people on these medication, on the GLP-1 agonist, were making healthier food choices.
Yeah.
So they were eating more vegetables, more, you know, healthy proteins, et cetera.
Wow. Yeah. What are your thoughts on those? Do people ask you about that kind of stuff? Like, how does it, how does glucose play a role in that?
A huge role, because at the core of it, these medications were actually created to help people with type 2 diabetes, to help manage their glucose levels and their weight. I don't know. To me, when it first came about, I felt like, oh, it's another fad. Like, I don't really want to get involved in it. I thought that, for example, in Europe, it hasn't taken off yet. So in France, nobody takes them. I don't know a single person.
In France too, and I'm curious how you feel about this, is that the addiction to food is not as much.
Not as much.
I think there's more of a balance between the way you guys approach food, and in the States, it's addiction.
Yeah, exactly. There are way more cultural habits that keep us safe in a way. What do I think? I think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating that our food environment is so toxic that we need a pill to save us from it. I mean, wow. Wow. And I'm so happy if it's helping people. That's awesome. You know, that's great. But it's not solving the underlying issue. It's just literally tricking your brain into thinking that you're not hungry. That's where we've gone to. Yeah. We need that to save us from the food around us. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm. I'm always just mindful of things that are tricking the body.
Yes.
Like, I don't like when we're tricking the body, because the body is so smart.
Yeah.
Like, the body keeps the score. The body knows everything. It's not as like trickable as we think. Mm. And so I'm always like, what's going to happen when that changes? I'd be afraid there'd be like lead in it or I don't know. You know what I mean? What's actually in
it? One of the worst parts about Ozempic and these drugs is that you lose a lot of weight and you lose a lot of muscle.
Wow.
And then when you stop taking it, you gain a lot of weight back, but it's not muscle.
Wow.
So you can actually end up in a worse place than you originally were.
Wow.
Yeah. We don't know what the outcome is going to be, what's going to happen on the other side.
Yeah.
So if you are taking one of these medications, it's really important to also learn about what food is doing to your body, to also learn healthier habits so that if and when you stop, which, you know, you might or might not want to do, but if and when you want to stop, so that you're not thrown right back into previous habits and you gain all the weight back and even more.
Yeah.
Right?
That would be terrible because muscle takes so much longer to build.
It's very difficult, especially as we age.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to maintain our muscle mass. That's why we're lifting, huh?
Me and my girl will be lifting. My girl is strong, but I'm strong.
You are very strong.
People underestimate my strength.
Oh, I think you're very strong.
People are like, well, you're strong. I'm like, yeah, bitch.
Yeah, you're very strong.
How does muscle play a role with glucose? Like, why do you lift?
Ooh, good question. Because as Gabrielle Lyon says, muscle is the organ of longevity. So the more muscle you have, the better equipped you're going to be from a glucose perspective to store away extra glucose that you're ingesting. So the more muscle I have, the less impact on my health the Van Leeuwen's chocolate fudge brownie ice cream is going to have. So that's how I think about it. But also because I want to feel good and I want to feel strong and it's super healthy. And as you age, one of the issues is your muscles atrophy, you become more frail, you break stuff more easily. So I'm thinking about the Jesse that's 60 years old, thanking the 31-year-old Jesse for doing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And my mental health feels so much better as well.
Yeah.
Do you lift
3 times a week, 4 times a week?
I think two or three times.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was your journey with working out? Did you only do cardio at some point? Because you're so tall and you're so model-like and lean. And did you ever have a phase where you were only doing cardio, where you were super obsessed with being thin?
Well, when I was a teenager, I had a gym membership and I went once a year. And I was like, I guess I need to go on the treadmill and like run. And after 2 minutes, I was like, but after I broke my back when I was 19, I had to stay fit. Otherwise my back would hurt.
How did you break it?
I jumped off a waterfall in Hawaii. I know. Oh, baby. Yeah. Don't jump off waterfalls. It was the most horrible thing ever. Yeah. So one of my vertebrae exploded.
Mm-hmm. Did you hit a rock or just water?
Just the water. That's wow. the thing that people don't realize. It was like a 25 feet tall waterfall, which is tall, but like not that high compared yeah. to what you can do. At that height, the water is like concrete. So if you land improperly, I didn't land on my back. I landed with my feet first, but they were slightly angled that my tailbone hit at slightly the wrong angle and just went up, 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 and poof. Yeah. So don't jump off waterfalls. Seriously, it's
Did
not
you
worth
cry?
It. Oh my God, are you kidding? Yeah, of course. Wow. But with the adrenaline, I didn't actually know
isn't
what was happening.
Weird? I know. Isn't that, you have to have that experience to be in awe of the body and be like, yo.
Yeah.
I remember I got in a car accident one time with my mom and I had, my adrenaline was like insane. I was like, I want to flip this car. I just felt like it took over my whole body. You have no pain. It's wild.
It's wild.
Okay, so you broke your back.
Yeah, and after that, after surgery, and I have lots of metal in my back now, but I needed to stay strong. Otherwise, if I don't work out for 2 weeks, then my back starts hurting.
Wow.
So it became a necessity for my body. I was like, I got you. Like, you know, it's not easy to have a broken back and all this metal, and I have 3 fused vertebrae now. That's when my journey started. And, you know, I didn't know what I was doing at the beginning. Yeah, I did cardio. I did some yoga, some this and that. But only recently have I really gotten into a groove. I think it's only been a couple of years that I realized actually lifting weights is really important. It makes you feel super good. Intense cardio all the time and HIIT classes are kind of a stressor on the body. So you have to be gentle with them. And I feel really good about it now. Yeah. And I, you know, it's like I can see my little bicep and I'm like,
I know.
Hey, honey, like
I saw that
it's
bicep.
Been a year and it's hard to build muscle when you're a woman. You think that you're going to look like a bodybuilder. Trust me, it takes
years.
So much time to even see like a 20% increase in your bicep. Mm-hmm. And I still can't beat you when we arm wrestle.
I know.
So like, you know.
But you got the abs.
Yeah.
Your abs are crazy.
Yeah. But that's because of the back, right? I had to focus so much on my core to keep my back nice and strong so I wouldn't get these pains.
Wow. Mm. Okay. So the lifting is really important. There was something else I wanted to talk about too, just because you have such a big thriving community and amazing women and men and people over the world that follow you. What are like most of the questions that they're asking you? What is like the one thing that you're like, okay, guys, we need to get clear about this?
I feel like they're very educated because in my books, I give so much detail. So most of the questions I get are like, I had this for breakfast. Is it okay for a savory breakfast? Or, you know, which vinegar should I drink? Or it's very specific questions about the hacks. But I think because the message is so concise and clear, they're not too confused. It's just like implementation details sometimes. They're like, hey, can I have the vinegar once a day or 2 times a day? Or do tomatoes count as vegetables as a veggie starter? It's more minute details that I get.
Yeah. What do you say about the vinegar thing?
You can do the vinegar as much as you want. I mean, it's a safe ingredient unless your doctor has said you shouldn't have vinegar or if you don't feel good drinking it. Always listen to your body, but you can have vinegar on your salad 3 times a day. It's not going to hurt you.
I love vinegar. It's so good.
Yeah.
I love my apple cider.
Yeah.
I was excited for you to come today because I feel like so I know your business mind. I know your business acumen and I know and I've been inspired by the way you approach business and by the way you do what you do. And you would not have your brand if you didn't have as much integrity as you have. It's crazy. Like, and that's the thing I really want people to get that like when they see you, they see what you've done, what you've built, and it's only getting bigger and better because of things to come like Anti-Spike, things that are here now, Anti-Spike. But I think that people don't recognize how much you've said no to.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Yes, I had this feeling this week. I thought, isn't it weird that now that I have 3 million followers, people look at what I've done and kind of dismiss it as I got lucky versus when I had 100,000 followers, people were like, yeah, keep going, work for it. Now that I've reached that point, I feel like the point of view or the assumption people have is different. Is that just a story in my head or do you see what I mean?
Oh, okay. I see what you mean, but I want you to
express
more.
Yeah, I think because when you're an underdog and you're starting out, you know, people are behind you. And then once you hit that level, they're like, oh, she didn't deserve it. So there's a sort of dismissal maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like for you, I'm curious how this lands
because you are a woman,
yeah.
because you are so beautiful, and because you have so much like life and vitality in a space that's so health and wellness, like doctorate.
Biohacker.
Yes, biohacker. Yeah. Like this is what it is. Like there's this thing where it's like, what is she saying?
Mm.
What is she doing?
Yeah.
Like, but that's also the magnetism that you have. And
it's
what
the
you
contrast
do.
That I like as
yes.
well.
Yes. But can you talk a little bit about saying no?
Mm, of course. Well, first of all, I'm such a people pleaser, so it's not easy. It is a muscle. No, I was. Maybe I was. I was. Yeah. It's a muscle. But when I started building this project and this Instagram and it started taking off, I felt this new energy come into me, which was sort of like a sort of lioness or mama bear, like, don't you touch my baby. I'm going to rip your head off. And I could feel people coming and be like, hey, do you want to do this collab? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? We could work together. And people trying to grab and hook into me. But it was so easy to push back. But it was still difficult to actually tell the person no, right? But I could feel inside me, I was like, no, I'm not going to give you everything I've built. Mm-hmm. It's not because you're X or Y person, X or Y brand, that I'm just going to sell you what I've created. I think it just came from within. It was mm-hmm. very clear from the beginning. And it was a choice. And I put so many boundaries in place, even from the beginning of this work. I said, you know, I'm not going to talk about my private life. I'm not going to show my friends. And so I created this kind of protection around the project and around the message. And it extended to more stuff. But saying no is very, very important. I say no 5 times a day. Stuff comes through 5 times a day in my inbox, in my messages. People will get my number. I don't even know who they are. They're like, hey, blah, 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 gave me your number. I'm like, what? This is not okay. And I'd be like, I have a food company. Do you want to do a collab? I'm like, no, babe. I got a full roadmap of stuff I'm doing. Like, I don't need, you know?
Yes.
That's a lot of inbound.
Yes.
And you just have to be like, no, thank you. I really appreciate it. But I got my own stuff going on. And also, it's a very nice position for me to be in. I'm not complaining.
Yes,
it's really
of course.
Good to have opportunities.
Of course.
But also, you just have to say no to so much stuff. Because at every level, there's going to be another opportunity that's going to seem really, really good.
Yes.
Then you have to think, is this aligned with what I'm doing? Is this going to take away any of my freedom or any of my integrity? And what is this for?
Mm.
And I think being a woman, I always assumed I needed other people to validate me. I always assumed, you know, when a powerful man would come and say, what you're doing is pretty cool. Let me help you take it to the next level. I'm going to help you. My first reaction was like, oh, amazing. Thank you. Somebody came to save me. And then I realized they don't actually know more than I do about this. I don't actually need them. And I learned that every day. I don't actually need anybody. If I want to do something, I can find the people. I have the power. It is mine. I don't have to give away my power, my creative power. I built this thing completely by myself. I mean, I worked with amazing people that I chose.
Yeah.
But it's so precious, mm-hmm. that little diamond I created. And mm-hmm. I want to keep it.
I mean, yeah, it's such a gift to watch, because I think I've been a little leaky with saying yes to stuff. And I think also where I get a little leaky is like wanting to be saved, which you've also really helped me with, where I'm like, oh, I'd love if this happened. And I'm not like insane. It's not like I'm in my bed all day, like waiting for something to happen. But there is a part of me that's like, oh, I want someone to come to me with an offer or something.
You know what I told you the other day? I was like, what? Krista, the only offers that are going to come to you are things that you've already done or things that you're not interested in.
Obsessed.
The stuff that you want, nobody will come to you and give it to you. You're going to have to fight for it no matter how successful you get. And the first time I learned this was when my first book came out and I was on the cover of this magazine in the UK. And I thought in my head, oh my God, when this magazine comes out tomorrow, Hollywood is going to call me and be like, oh my God, we love you. Disney is going to call me. National Geographic. I'm going to have all these offers. And so I get up and I go to the corner store to buy the magazine. And then I remember I was sitting on a bench and I was like, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Like, you know, no, Orlando Bloom is not calling me.
Yes.
And I realized in that moment, wow, I will have to keep pushing and fighting and advocating for myself. And the stuff that comes your way is generally stuff that you don't really need.
Wow.
The stuff that you really want, your next level, you will always fight for it.
Yes. And I think that's also too, like the visionary and the creative. Mm-hmm. It's like, I really love that point too, where it's like, the stuff that people are going to come to you with is stuff that you've already done. Is
or
stuff
thought about and dismissed, yes. or that you don't want to do. Otherwise, you would have done them.
Yes. No. And it's like, they're not coming with new, fresh ideas.
No.
Like you have
they're
to.
They're late.
Yes.
You know, like the TSA adapts to any new, I mean, this is a horrible example, but any new horrible thing that happens, TSA is like, okay, now take your shoes off. Okay, now, you know, take the liquids
yes.
out. They're just, they're reacting to something that's already happened.
Wow.
They're not going to be the visionary ones. Wow. You have to hold that.
Wow.
And at no point will that change. You know, if you had the idea for your business for your brand, for your content from day one, it's still going to be that same thing on day 5,000. But it's tough because at some point you want to be like, come on, I've worked enough. Like, somebody give me the thing. Like, you know, come on, HBO.
Yeah, literally, I'm like, come on, God. Let's go.
I know. But that doesn't happen.
I know.
It just doesn't. It just doesn't.
And it's better to think that way. I also think, too, it's like, because how many areas in our lives, how many areas in my life, how many areas in people's lives that are listening, are we just waiting for someone to save us, someone to apologize to us, someone to do what they said they were going to do, someone to call, someone to apologize, you know what I mean? Whatever it is. Did I say apologize twice?
I don't even know.
Maybe I want
someone
to apologize
for saying that.
I'm like, someone needs to apologize to me. I'm subconsciously leaking all over this. But it's and there is an empowerment when you told me that, when I could think about that, where I'm just like—
But it hurt a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of bummed me out, to be honest. I'm like, it's funny because there's a part of me in my brain where I was like, she doesn't know that I'm going to get it off her. I'm like, yeah, but I'm a little different. I'm going to get it off her.
I'm special.
Honestly. I was like, I might be a little different. But it does, you move different if you don't think anyone is going to save you.
Yeah.
And you move different if you're not following anyone else's path. Guys, I have 14 days of free visualization, motivational audio for you from Superhuman, and I'm so excited to give it to you. So stick around. Let me tell you a little bit about it before I give you this free code for a 14-day free trial and 60% off your subscription for a limited time with Superhuman. So Superhuman is this incredible app. Mimi Bouchard, the founder, came on the podcast recently, and I was actually blown away by the concept because I'm someone that loves to use audio for visualization and manifestation and goal setting. We all know how powerful meditation can be. We all know how powerful affirmations can be. We all know how powerful mindset can be. So to have a tool on my phone that is going to motivate me, inspire me, and get my mind right every single day has been blowing me away. So let's be real. Meditating is a really hard habit to stick to. It's boring. And for some people, it doesn't really work. But this is why I love activations. So activations are from the Superhuman app. And activations are a completely new category of sound in the wellness space. It really allows you to achieve your best life using a combination of visualization techniques, emotive music, and motivational guidance powered by self-image psychology. So again, that's visualization techniques, emotive music, motivational guidance, and self-image psychology. It's an audio app that helps you become your future self. So how I use the Superhuman app. So I go on in the morning when I'm needing something to start my day. Usually I love the under 10 minutes or less category, and I will do the seated you can have it all, which inspires me to remind me that I can have it all. I also love you're doing better than you think pep talk, or you're exactly where you need to be. And then in the afternoon, I will do ones like redesign your mood and mindset or lucky girl affirmations. It's these really powerful, beautiful, musical words and affirmations that I can listen to throughout my day. So if you're someone that loves listening to podcasts or YouTube or something on social media, this is like the best thing for your brain and your future self to listen to and really sets you up for the future that you're looking to create. I swear since using it, I have felt like more opportunities come in. I'm working one-on-one with people and now my schedule's fully booked. My retreats are almost sold out. And I think it's because of the lucky girl energy affirmations, but could just be me. So I want you guys to try this free. You are going to be obsessed. You're going to use it all the freaking time and find some of my favorite activations like the lucky girl energy. So again, this tool has the potential to change your life. So I don't want you to miss out on the only sale of the year. So this discount at activations.com/almost30 gets you 14 days free and 60% off your subscription, which can save you up to $227 and get you 8 months free. Pretty crazy. So start today and step into a new era of personal growth. Get your best self going. That's Superhuman. That's activations.com/almost30 for 60% off. Expires soon.
Not sure if you know this, but your scalp ages 6 times faster than your face. So you should absolutely be giving your scalp some love. You should absolutely be treating your scalp like your skin. So I have a brand that is revolutionizing the space of scalp care. Acton Acre is a line of scalp products that treat common scalp conditions like hair thinning, dandruff, flakes, oily scalp. I am obsessed with their products. Helen Reavy is the founder and first trichologist founded scalp care brand. Trichology is a holistic approach to scalp and hair. I am someone who, since getting pregnant, I actually have a pretty dry scalp. I have seasons where my scalp has been super oily, so I kind of have run the gamut. But I am using some products from Acton Acre that have made such a difference. So I am using the Detox Gua Sha System from Acton Acre. This is a best-selling set. It balances the scalp and removes product buildup. So we put a lot of stuff in our hair, shampoos, conditioners, dry shampoo, all these things, and it builds up. So this removes the buildup while improving the product absorption. And it's also really relaxing. So this includes the scalp detox oil and the scalp gua sha tool, which is this beautiful jade stone. It kind of looks like a comb, but it is so relaxing. I do it every single night and I've noticed that I don't have as much dandruff and it just makes my scalp so happy and so healthy. I'm also using the stem cell scalp serum. So this one, it is the number one best selling scalp serum. Can you say that 10 times fast? So it's powered by 2% apple stem cells, and this scalp serum promotes thicker, fuller looking hair and supports scalp health in the early stages of hair thinning post-pregnancy. I just, you know, my hair is going through its journey. So this has really, really helped. So for our listeners, as always, we got you, we got you, we got you. Go to actandacre.com, actandacre.com, and you're going to use our code ALMOST30. Use the code ALMOST30 at actandacre.com for 15% off your purchase. That is ALMOST30 is the code for 15% off your purchase.
So talk about being a people pleaser. You perceive yourself to be a people pleaser. It's not like I think you're like a fucking psychopath and you're not a people pleaser, but I see you as someone that is incredibly not. If you were before, like what has your trajectory been like of like making peace with that people pleaser part of you through this path? Because if you were, you would not be where you are.
Yeah.
And you would not have the brand you built.
It's as this business has built and this brand and this message, I have grown as well. As it's grown, yeah, I have grown personally. And at every stage, sometimes Dukos Goddess was ahead of me. Sometimes I was ahead of her. And we just had to, we had to grow in lockstep. Otherwise, I would have never been able to do what I'm doing. So for example, this, I showed you this article that came out today and I was like, oh yeah, they're saying that like whatever, just criticizing me.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, I would have come over to your place and be like, in tears, like, I can't believe they said this. And now I'm like, yeah, cool, talk about me. Yeah. It's a muscle. The people, it's like going to the gym. You just have to practice and it's really, really hard. But then you get used to it. You're like, actually, it's okay if people don't like me because I'm in integrity with what I'm doing. I believe in what I'm doing. I believe I'm a force for good. It's okay. It's just a muscle. It's not sexy. I don't have a hack for this. You just have to keep practicing. Mm-hmm. Every time you feel the people pleasing thing come up, you're like, okay, really uncomfortable. Yeah. Let me try to move through it and assert myself. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, in this place I'm staying at, this man walks into the elevator after me and he says, well, you could have held the door for me. And I'm just like, yeah, I just melt. I'm like, oh my God, he hates me. Like, yes. And so that stuff comes up, yes, still. And then I thought about it for an hour. I was like, should I have kept the door open? Like, am I a horrible person?
Yes, you know? Yes, yes.
So it never goes away, but you learn, yes, you learn to get through it and to grow up. And I also take every opportunity as a lesson and a challenge, mm-hmm, to grow. And I think that's such a key mindset, huge, to have. Mm-hmm. I'm not the victim here. I'm like, what can I learn?
Yes.
And then I learned, I'm like, next time I'll be like, hey, I didn't see you. You know, don't be rude to me.
Yes.
Yeah. But yes, I didn't do it this time. I was like,
oh. I know, honestly, you're right. Today I was refilling my water bottle and I was replaying this scenario with someone I think that doesn't like me. And you know what I mean? How you do sometimes, you're just walking around your house. You're like, this person fucking hates me. And I was like, oh yeah. And I was like filling up my water bottle and I was like, oh, they don't like me. And I was like, they think this about me. And then I was like, do I think that about me? And I was like,
No, it's not my story.
It's not my story.
It's not my story.
And I just, you have to like come back to that. So whenever you hear criticism, whenever you hear feedback like that, it's like, ooh, but is that true for me? Mm-hmm. Like, am I a bad person? Am I this thing? And it's like, you have to be okay, especially with someone at your level of bigness and the bigness that a lot of people want. Like a lot of people would love to be as impactful as you are and as much of a visionary as you are, but you have to be okay with being people's villain. You have to okay with not being liked.
And I was never okay with this. Like I was, when it first happened, even the first negative comment I got years ago, it destroyed me.
What did it say? Do you remember?
It was a dietitian who said, you're not a dietitian, you're not allowed to talk about food. Mm. I was like, oh my God, is she right? Like, it's almost like I try on other people's story of me before I reject it. It's like guilty until proven innocent.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. My first thought is, are they right? Am I a bad person because they didn't hold the door?
Yes, yes.
And that's just my wiring. Some other people might be like, oh, whatever. For me, it just penetrates in my soul.
Yes.
And then over time, you just learn, that's not my story. That's not me. And now I get lots of bad comments, but I also get amazing ones. And I'm like, well, if somebody thinks that, that's fine. I don't think that. Not my story.
Yeah.
And you grow and you get better. And then there's the next challenge and it's infinite.
Yes. When do you think there was a time where Glucose Goddess was like a little ahead of you growth-wise? Or like, can you think of a moment where it was like, Gigi's a little ahead of me?
Yeah. I think last year when my second book came out, just you know, 10 months after the first one, it was a whirlwind. It was growing like crazy. And I just felt like I hadn't been able to process what had just happened. And so I was running with this huge suitcase behind me of all the unprocessed events and meetings. And I was like, I need to stop at some point to open and process. And now I feel like I'm there. This year is about processing in space.
Yes.
But last year was crazy. Yeah. For sure.
Because you took off summer? Or what did you take off?
Yes,
to do
I took
that?
Off summer. But I still didn't process during the summer. It was too soon.
The thing.
I'm processing now.
Okay.
2024.
Okay.
No.
I'm witnessing that.
Thanks.
Yeah, I do. It's interesting. I don't know if we were talking about that, but I was thinking about that recently of in business and being a public figure, like all the traumatic in quotes, you know, all the things that happen that would break a normal person.
But I was telling my therapist the other day, I was like, maybe I'm not cut out for this because this is so hard.
There's
stuff that happens. I'm like, it's so hard.
Yes.
She's like, I don't think that's the case. I think you can do it, but it's just hard shit.
Yeah. And that's what people, I don't think, see. Mm. And that's what's hard. It's the balance of what we do because there's so much of what you do where you're like, I'm talking about glucose.
Yeah.
I'm going to share where I'm featured. I'm going to talk about what it is that I'm here to do. I'm not going to be telling you guys about the things that are hard, but there is so much that is hard.
Yeah.
It's like, I think entrepreneurship, you know, I was in the corporate world for a long time. It's like the good, the high is high and the low is low. Mm-hmm. And when you're like low, it's lonely. It's hard. You question who you are.
Yeah.
Like I don't remember at the corporate world thinking if I got bad feedback that I was like a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
But with what we do, because
it's us.
Yes.
And there's so many bad parts, but also so many, like we got to meet.
I know.
You know, and I just like, and so many amazing parts. I think I told you this, but December was really tough for me. I had a lot of people on the team that I had to let go of. I had some lawyer issues. It was a really, 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 really difficult month. And I called my dad, and my dad is a business owner. And I said, Dad, it's so hard. Like, how do you do it? It's so difficult. I'm breaking. He's like, well, honey, yes, there are difficult parts, but there are also lots of great parts.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a moment. And I think it's because I'm quite extreme in my
totally.
Emotions, you know, Gemini vibe, like amazing or terrible. Yeah, yeah, and I was I need a more balanced approach to this whole thing. I'm actually so grateful, so happy with what I'm doing. And there's going to be really shitty months. And you just have to eat pasta and carry on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... Would you also say too, I've always felt like this in business and entrepreneurship, like your business can only grow with what you're capable of.
Yes.
And your capacity. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that in your growth?
I mean, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And when I look back to photos of me 5 years ago when I started the Instagram, that feels like a completely different person. And I feel like I've grown so much through this journey. You have to grow with the business and the business has to grow with you, especially if you are the face and the figure of it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot stay the same and hope for your business to evolve. I feel like I replace myself every 6 months. There's just these, you morph. You have to grow, you have to change, you have to push. But you don't have to, but you're called to it sometimes.
Yeah.
And personal growth, business growth have gone hand in hand for me completely. Mm. Yeah.
What's your personal growth? Like, how do you see personal growth? Do you see a therapist? Do you journal? Like, how do you make that a priority so that your business can also grow, but also so you can be mentally well while you're doing this?
Yeah. I talk to people a lot. Mm-hmm. My close friends, my family, I just call them. I'm like, I need to process what happened. I journal mm-hmm. to try to make sense and see where the lesson is in this. And therapy has been super helpful. Mm-hmm. Sleeping, exercising, and just being okay that sometimes you're going to have 3 weeks where everything, the sky is going to feel like it's falling on you. And to just sit with that. But it's so hard. Mm-hmm. So all the things. I talked to other people who have businesses when I had mm-hmm. the issues this mm-hmm. winter. I called you. So mm-hmm. try to find people that you can vent yeah. to and just find some reassurance in mm-hmm. other people's experiences. Because I built this by myself. So I'm the only one sort of at the top of the structure. And that can feel
lonely,
super lonely sometimes.
Yeah.
But I have a good support system and I'm very grateful for that. And when it's really hard, I sort of just look at all the testimonials from people. Mm-hmm. And just I remind myself of this story of I'm doing good stuff. Yeah. You know, I'm doing something good. Mm-hmm. And you just have to... It's like a little self mm-hmm. meditation, self mantra. When mm-hmm. it's hard, it's like, okay, this is really hard. But look at all the thousands of people that I've helped. Mm-hmm. Like that needs to count. Mm-hmm. You need to ground yourself in your impact.
Mm-hmm. And in reality. One of my favorite things about your brand is your aesthetic and is like the colors and the vision. And I think that is so much of what makes you successful. Like mm-hmm. beyond the fact that you're so mindful and thoughtful about only having the brand be you, having it be really easy hacks to understand, like having the colors pop, having it be just stunning. Like everything you do, I think people aren't understanding is naturally you, but is a part of what makes you successful. Mm. Can you talk about the aesthetic and the branding? Yeah.
That is my favorite part of everything. You know, even when there's a tsunami of crazy problems happening, I still go to my computer, go to my design software and design the next post. And that just brings me all the joy. I'm like, what photo of a bagel am I going to put on this graph? And is there enough margin on this text bubble? People don't realize I make all my content. There's nobody doing it for wow. me. And that's my favorite part of it yes. all. You know, I'm launching Anti-Spike and I'm just, before I came over here, I was making all these different sort of ideas for the marketing campaign and cool visuals and posts. That's my favorite yes. stuff. And so I think it just comes naturally to me. And I've taken codes from other industries. So for example, I worked with an amazing French branding agency 2 years ago to do the logo and the typography and the color scheme. They only work with fashion brands. They're not a marketing branding agency for influencers or for wellness or health stuff. They work in fashion. And I was like, okay, let's make Glucose Goddess the baby of Einstein and Kim Kardashian. How do we do that? So it's pulling from that side of things. And ultimately, I'm visually obsessed. That is, you know, I design every single product that I make, everything, the label, the placement of the words, the color, the shininess, the embossed cap. That's all me.
Even the caps.
That's all me designing it. And this makes me the happiest. So I think when it's so core to your passion and why you love what you do, you just have to give it as much space as you can.
I'm obsessed. Mm. That's your alien.
Yeah.
I just love that. Like, I just feel like when we follow other people's blueprint, we just lose ourselves.
For you, it's the voice, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and that is
yeah.
your core
yeah.
talent, passion, yep. gift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do you build more around
yep.
that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For me, it's design.
Yeah.
And I've built a lot and around fashion, that. And I'm going to keep yeah. building around mm-hmm. that.
And you're going to build my brand.
Totally. Oh my brand. God.
But yes. that's like, oh my God. Don't want to use, you know, someone's name that I want to use that I'll tell you later. But this is like the genius level stuff where you're like, oh yeah, in fashion, this is a fashion design. But people are like, oh yeah, they just do fashion.
Mm.
Like, no, we're going to make this work for my brand and we're going to make it something that feels uniquely me. There's another aspect of your brand that I want to talk about that I think is really important is the fact that you don't share your personal life and that you actually make it just about value for your community. Can you talk a little bit about that?
When I first started out, it was as a way to protect myself because I had a personal Instagram for years and it had really hurt my mental health.
And finding it.
So I decided that when I started Glucose Goddess, it would not have any personal stuff Love at that. All. I share personal stuff in my book. I share personal stuff on podcasts. Mm-hmm. But on Instagram, I just decided no. And I also thought, you know what? Maybe this is going to contribute to creating Glucose Goddess as a sort of a mythical character. More mystery. So people project more. Could be helpful, actually. So it was a decision that has followed me. And I just, I want to keep it that way. Because I don't think it's I don't want my mom and my sister to get DMs from people.
Yeah.
I
love that.
Yeah. But it's a choice. And I think other people do really well by sharing their whole life. Totally. It's just a decision.
Yeah.
It's just a decision.
Yeah. And I think it's so powerful because for you, because this is what happens. People get hooked where there could be the temptation of like, this is how I get big by sharing. Mm-hmm. So again, like you did the guardrails before you had to.
Yeah.
What can happen a lot of times for influencers, creators, is they have to put the guardrails after they've been burned, but you like grew with guardrails. Mm-hmm. You're like, I know when I'm going to say no, I'm going to follow my intuition. I'm going to do things differently. I'm not going to share personal stuff. And it's contributed so much to you being able to pick and choose like the best things.
Yeah. And I also approached my content as you would approach building a website or a tech product in Silicon Valley. I was like, what is going to be the most shareable piece of content that is going to go viral, quote unquote. So I was, at the beginning, I was testing lots of stuff and I realized, oh, people want to see these graphs. It was not like this. I was testing lots of different pieces of content on glucose and I just listened to the audience. They were like, oh, I love these graphs. Can you do one when you compare dark chocolate to milk chocolate? I was like, okay, people like this. And then they were like, oh, I don't understand the graph, the absolute values. I was like, okay, I'm going to make it relative, the scale, you know, and the colors and everything. It was a concerted, collaborative creation of these little pieces of content that are now so shareable.
Yes.
So it didn't just come from my head. It was a process.
Wow.
It was work.
Yeah. Wow.
I consider these, it's almost like products.
Yeah.
How do you iterate on a product until it's really good? And thousands of people are sharing every single one of my posts. Because that's also how you get the message out.
Wow.
You know, nobody's going to share a photo of me with my cat, but they're going to share a graph showing banana versus banana and peanut butter.
Yeah.
And you can do a bit of both. And sometimes I wish I had more personal space because it does feel a little bit like a character sometimes. I'm like, oh, I'm sharing this cool graph, but also I'm having a really shitty week and I wish I could just open. But I haven't found the right way to open yet.
Yeah. Would you say that's what's hard about what you do? Like what's hard about Glucose Goddess building the business?
It's so hard. I don't know how people build companies.
I know.
It is so hard. Just everything is really hard. People hiring, firing, dealing with problems, criticism, takedowns, like just everything is so hard. Launching stuff is so hard. Mm-hmm. Very difficult when I'm writing a book. You know, people have opinions about the book and the cover and the editing and the marketing strategy and having to sell yourself. Learning how to be on TV is so terrifying. Everything is.
Did you teach yourself?
I did one media training course.
Wow.
And then I just looked at a lot of videos of myself. So that's I would do 100%. A podcast and then look and be like, So my current thing I'm working on is that I have found that when I am speaking on a podcast, my face looks very serious. So I'm trying to consciously smile a bit more as I'm speaking. But I'm an obsessive improver.
Yeah, same.
I'm always thinking, how can I be a bit better tomorrow? So right now, it's about the smiling.
Yeah.
Can you tell I'm smiling more
so
now?
So right now, we're like, this is hard.
But it's also
criticism.
Amazing. It's 100%. Also amazing.
But I am an obsessive improver. And it's such a fine line to find the balance between, you know, never being happy and satisfied. Mm. My Virgo rising is like, this could, my life mantra is this could be better.
Really?
With everything. And so it's like the fine line of like, what is fine and what actually could be better. But I'm so grateful for that because I'm the same. I would watch things. I would listen to myself. Mm. Like you could really, if you're self-aware enough and you don't hate yourself so much where you're in a spiral, find all the information you need to know just by watching yourself.
Yes. But some people have a big block. They're like, I can't do it. It's too hard. Or I could never do that. I'm like, well, I think you have to be a little bit crazy to just say, 100%. I can do it. You have to believe in yourself a little bit. Otherwise, it's going to be really, really hard.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to jump.
Yeah.
And then once you combine being able to take a risk and jumping and also wanting to self-improve all the time, you're going to get somewhere.
Yes.
You will get somewhere.
Yes.
You really will.
Yes. I also watch people that speak too.
Yeah.
Like I'll watch like Mel Robbins or something and I'm like, okay, she's repeating the question. She's making it numerical. Like you did at the beginning, when you answer the question, you're like, I think of two things.
Mm.
And then you say the two things. It's like, okay, that's easy to understand, easy to digest, summarized there. Like it's just, there's things that people are doing that people aren't aware of.
Yeah.
And that was when I did NLP training, just realizing that like so much of how we speak in our language is actually subconscious for how people understand and how people perceive it. But when you make it conscious and you're like, oh, I'm going to use this to my advantage, it's so different.
One thing the media training taught me is that when somebody asks you a question, especially if you don't have a lot of time to answer the question, but then take 50% of the time to talk about your thing. So if you ask me, so Jesse, what do you think about Ozempic? I'd be like, blah, 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 blah. But also I think that the hacks that I share in my book are a really easy way to get these benefits wow. without actually taking a drug. Always use the second half to just pitch your thing again.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's a good trick, especially if you're under time pressure and you have to do an interview really quickly or live.
I mean.
And so that way you promote what you're working on. You don't just become an answering machine.
Wow. Wow. I can't wait to get all the tips for that after yeah. this. Okay, let's talk about friggin' anti-spike.
Okay.
I've seen this BTS and I am so excited. I literally remember when you were talking about making a product.
yeah.
Everyone's wanted you to make a product.
You it said looks, everybody was horny for
everyone's
making a product.
Horny for her to make a product. That's what I said. I was like, everyone's gonna be so horny about this. They're gonna be just so excited. I'm so excited.
Thanks,
Tell
babe.
Us about anti-spike.
So I have these hacks, right? Yep. And people have asked me for years, okay, if I can't take the vinegar, if I can't do the veggie starter, can I take a vinegar pill, a fiber pill, a whatever pill? My dad has diabetes, doesn't want to change his diet. Can I give him a pill to support him? So I recently had time to actually look into all the science of all the vinegar stuff on the market, all of the glucose supplements on the market, and I was not impressed. A lot of the vinegar stuff has actual sugar in it. And we don't have data supporting that vinegar in pill form actually has the same impact.
And oftentimes it's in gummies.
Yeah.
Isn't that unreal?
With a bunch of sugar in
like
them.
Like what?
And fiber pills are cool, but they're actually not very effective. You have to take like 25 to get any effects. So what I did is I dug deep into the research, kind of like what I did for the hacks.
Yeah.
And I saw that there were these four plants that have been around since forever, but recently have been discovered by scientists to be really good for your glucose levels. And I combined them into anti-spike. And so anti-spike does two things. When you take it before eating carbs, it cuts the glucose spike of the carbs by 40%, 40, which is mad, and which is more than vinegar, which is 30%. So reduction by up to 40% by grabbing the sugar and the glucose from your meal and giving it to eat to your microbiome instead of letting it go through your bloodstream. Your microbiome is very happy with these undigested carbs, makes lots of fancy hormones, including increasing GLP-1 naturally, which is the satiety hormone that Ozempic acts on unnaturally. And second, anti-spike, when you take it every day for 6 to 12 weeks, it reduces your fasting glucose levels, which means if you have something like prediabetes or type 2 diabetes, it can help you put it into remission, reduces insulin resistance, which is such a key fuck up for a lot of our female hormone issues. And it's amazing. And I'm super proud of it. And the plants are mulberry leaf, cinnamon, antioxidants from green vegetables, and lemon extract. 100% natural. The molecules have over 25 clinical trials backing them. It is the best glucose supplement on the market. Hands down, super legit, amazing.
Did you have to pay for clinical trials or what was that process?
No, so the molecules had a bunch of clinical trials that were quite recent mm-hmm. that were available online. And that's how I looked at which ones were going to be the most potent.
Wow.
I want to do my own trial on the formula itself, which probably will have an even bigger yeah. impact than all the individual trials. But that costs a lot of money. So I'm hoping that, you know, with yeah. the sales of this, I'm going to have a budget to be able to do that.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's like saying, you know, if you combine two hacks, are they going to be more powerful than one? Well, yes. It would be cool to know exactly
totally
the improvement in the spike. But if you look at this with a glucose monitor, it's crazy.
Really?
It is crazy. Yeah. So for me, this is like a new hack or a new tool in your toolbox. It's not a magic pill.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to think, okay, I'm just going to take anti-spike and not do the hacks anymore. It's in addition to them. Yes, it kind of is a magic pill, but don't use it that way.
Yeah.
Use it as an extra tool. Keep it in your purse. It comes with a little pill box so you can carry capsules with you. Yeah. I'm so excited to give you a bottle.
I can't wait. I'm buying one.
Yay.
Jessie has a thing she doesn't give to her friends. So we all are buying.
You know why I say what? That?
No, it's I love that. I respect it.
I think it's an energetic thing.
This is another thing why you're so successful. It's little things about this that create your magnetism. Mm. Where you're like, no, actually, my friends are going to buy my stuff.
Yeah.
And we have enough money to buy your stuff. Yes. It's fine. Like,
and I see, it's funny because, okay, this is going to sound a bit woo-woo, but I feel like this product has a real energy. And he's actually a man. I can feel him. No, I know it's weird, but he's a dude. He's
but
like,
he's the balance
he's so
to Gigi.
Cool. Totally.
He's cool.
Totally.
Gigi's husband.
Exactly. He's awesome. And he's not going to put out for free. You got to buy it.
100%.
Know? It's okay. And I feel really good about that.
He's anti-spike.
Totally.
And he's blue.
He's so badass. I love him.
The branding is blue. Thank you. I cannot wait to get this.
Yeah.
So how would people take it?
So once a day,
Okay.
You take two capsules before eating any carbs.
Okay.
So maybe you're having a big pizza dinner, or you want to have a chocolate ice cream, or you want to eat a bagel or bread or whatever.
Yeah.
You take this right before eating the carbs, mm-hmm. and it's going to grab 40% of those carbs. And basically, you're not, I mean, you're getting them for free.
Wow.
Essentially. Yeah. So you can eat the carbs you love with even less impact on your glucose levels. Wow.
So you would just mm-hmm. take it before carbs, not exactly. just like casually.
You can take it casually if you want as well, but mm-hmm. the most beneficial moment is going to be right before eating carbs.
Wow.
So that you can get that process of the 40% going straight through to your microbiome.
I can't wait.
Yes, I know.
I can't wait. Okay, what else is new for GG this year? What else can we look forward to? We got Anti-Spike flowing.
I'm launching a big series of episodes on YouTube.
Yeah. 20 of them?
18. Yeah. And these are meant to be evergreen and sort of be the counterpart to my graphs. You know how the graphs are yeah. iconic? I wanted a video, another format that would be just as iconic, and I hadn't found it yet.
They're insane.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
That's the whole, that was another thing too, like another tip you talked about is just like investing in the right things.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you've chosen to invest in is fascinating to me.
Thanks.
Like your visuals, your mm-hmm. photos, like your yeah. outfits.
I spend so much money on
so
photos.
So much money.
And shirts
yes.
and working with amazing, you know, art directors who can help me create a vision for the show, for example. Yeah, that's what I spend my money on.
Which
yeah.
is so what? Because a lot of people would do like SEO or like Facebook ads or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I haven't done that ever. No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
Wow.
Yeah. So the show is exciting. And I'm excited to have this sort of, there'll be 20, 25 minutes each covering specific topics.
Cool.
You know, coffee, cravings, fasting glucose levels.
Milks.
Weight loss, milk. Yeah. Veggie milks. Starters.
Veggie starters.
Things like that. Yeah. And what about you, babe?
What about me? Oh, you're cute. yeah, I'm excited to lean more into the voice and yeah. communication. I just really think that the voice is like the linchpin of everything. Mm. It's like how people—
What's a linchpin?
The linchpin is really like it's like the very thing that's like at the core and the mm. center of people having a life that they love. You know, it's like how to have intimacy in relationships. Like you're so expressive and loving and open. It's like I'm able to have deep intimate relationships because I'm able to communicate.
Yeah.
A lot of times men can't communicate really well. They don't have a lot of words for their emotions, so they can't get as deep with people. Also in work and in business, you're never going to get a raise if you can't ask for one.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to be seen as someone that's a leader if you can't stay in your body for a presentation. You know, it's just, even online, even on the internet, it's just everything. And so I really
want
to lean into that. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to be like communication connoisseur.
I want 10 voice hacks from Krista.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do the voice hack graphs.
Like, we can find some visual way to show these.
We're going to find some visual.
I'm very excited for you. It's
I know.
Beautiful.
You're going to be my branding.
Yes.
I'm going to come out and just be like,
love it.
Voice goddess.
Yes. Love it.
I love you so much.
I love you too, baby. Thank you
this
so much for
so
having
much
me.
So much fun.
Yay.
All right, guys. We love you so much. Anti-Spike is out now.
Yes. Antispike.com. Link in the description.
Link in bio, baby. Okay. And you guys can listen to the other episodes we did with our girl. Just search Glucose Goddess Almost 30. I love you.
Love you, babe.
Bye.
Thank you so much, girl. Again, there are two more episodes you can dig into with Almost 30 Podcast and the Glucose Goddess. Just search Jessie or Glucose Goddess Almost 30. You can find those episodes. We'll have those also in the show notes at almost30.com, where you can find more information about our show, our partners, Lindsay and I,
mm-hmm.
all the tings. Almost 30 Podcast on TikTok, on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram. I was the one interviewing Jessie at It's Krista.
And I'm at Lindsay Simcik, S-I-M-C-I-K. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you on the next one. Thank you.